Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Allen wide open to Cook in the left flat, racing to the end zone. Is he in? Yes, he is. The Cook has found the kitchen. Handoff goes to Cook, and he sails into the end zone for his second touchdown of the game. One receiving, one rushing. Handoff goes to Cook, and a work through the middle, through a hole, and into the secondary. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5, flips into the end zone for the touchdown. 49 yards for James Cook, his third touchdown of the game. And it is a raucous celebration on the Buffalo sideline. Oh, my.
Isn't this the best kind of Friday? I mean, it's a Buffalo Bills victory football Friday here on WGR Sports Radio 550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Boy, it's just the best way to start a Friday. After a big Bills victory on a Thursday night, you know, you have all weekend to kind of celebrate it, watch the rest of the games go on and go, oh yeah, everybody else can kind of catch up to the Bills. They're the only 2-0 team. The Bills are the only 2-0 team in the NFL. They've played two games, only them and the Dolphins have done that, and they've won both of them. The only 2-0 team. So you can enjoy that as the weekend goes on. You can enjoy today as you listen to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And, of course, it is a Buffalo Bills Victory Football Friday. And that is always brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. It is a fantastic day to wake up and think about the Bills and look at the standings and what they were able to do to the Miami Dolphins. Kind of stress-free last night too, right? In a lot of ways. I mean, it's always stressful until it starts happening. It was 7-7 for a brief while. Then the Bills just dominated the rest of the game. They really dominated from start to finish. Sal Capaccio here. I'm going to be talking all about that today with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Got in late last night. Plane landed at about 4:15 a.m. Got back home and settled in after getting everything ready here to go to bed and unwind, I guess. I don't know. About 5 in the morning. So running on not a lot of sleep. Try to get a little sleep on the plane, but always tough to do that. I'm not too bad at sleeping on planes. I can do it. But by the time I finished my work, had my article done, you're wired, right? For me, it's always tougher on those game night, those late night plane rides to sleep simply because I got adrenaline pumping still, right? I'm still kind of wired a little bit from the game. And then you get back and you're like, all right, here we go. And then, of course, wake it up. And I've had to wake up after nighttime losses before to get on the radio. And it's not pretty to know that you got to get on the radio and still do the job. And I'm here for you. But it makes it a lot easier on a day like today, doesn't it? But what's going to help me today is you giving me a call. 803-0550 is the number. 803-0550. What we're going to do today on a Buffalo Bills football Friday and a victory football Friday is do a little of a, you know, a look back, of course, a recap, some post-game stuff. It was so late last night. Maybe a lot of you went to bed right after the game. Hopefully you stuck around and listened to WGR, but I'm going to play some post-game sound for you too. We'll hear from Sean McDermott. We'll hear from Josh Allen. We're going to hear from DeMar Hamlin in a little while here about what happened on the field in the Tua situation, which I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't start with. It was very somber in that stadium last night as Tua Tagovailoa lay on the field. Not that it wouldn't be for anybody else, but I'm here to tell you, as someone who was there, everyone knew immediately what was happening. DeMar Hamlin back in Cincinnati, when he was on the field, there was a lot of wondering what was going on. Everyone knew it was a serious situation. Nobody really knew what was happening. And then as the word started to filter, that's how. But you couldn't really see in plain sight what was going on, right? I will tell you, though, in a lot of ways, last night felt like that night in Cincinnati in the stadium. There were a lot of Bills fans, as there normally are. Lots of blue jerseys and red jerseys and white Bills jerseys. And, of course, there are a lot of Dolphins fans. And they're wearing their teal and their white. But everyone was standing. Pretty much everybody silent. Watching what was happening. Because as opposed to the DeMar situation in Cincinnati, this was Tua in the open field. As soon as he got hit, he stayed down, went down. You saw the posturing of the arm immediately. And everyone knew right away. Players were calling trainers out. And because of this particular player and his issues that he's had with concussions over the last few years, everyone understood the gravity of it, even more so maybe than if it was another player who hadn't had these particular issues. It's always going to be, you know, a pretty heavy, serious situation, but I think that made it obviously even more so. And in a game that, let's be honest, at the time was pretty much out of hand. I mean, they were driving to try and score to make it, would have been, what, 31-17 if they had. And sure enough, you know, you could come back from that. But the game was pretty much near the end of the third quarter. Yeah, they still had time. They definitely had time. You can come back from that. But in that situation, too, right? Man, like, the game's kind of out of hand, too. That happens. And then I don't know how many people realized it was DeMar who to a hit. DeMar didn't hit Tua. Tua hit DeMar. And I don't know how many people realized that right away when that happened. We were wondering, too. When it first happened, I thought, was it Taylor Rapp? And then I saw the replay. No, it was DeMar. And, of course, that particular situation, Tua hitting DeMar, Tua staying down. Here's Tua with his history of concussions. Here's DeMar with his heart that stopped on the field a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. And he gets hit in the chest by Tua in the sternum area. Roger Goodell is in the stadium. He was at the game last night. He's there. These two players, who there's been a lot made of their particular health situations, it was really, I guess sometimes, I don't know if I should say coincidental or ironic. They're both, you know, interchangeable sometimes, I guess. But whatever that word is, that's what it was. And, of course, immediately after the game, we go into the locker room and people want to hear from DeMar and his what he's thinking and what kind of space he's in after the game, after being on the other end of that particular situation with Tua Tagovailoa. Here's DeMar Hamlin right after the game last night.
Collision seems sort of similar to the one that you experienced too. Was there any thought of that in your mind after the play? Did that go through your mind at all?
Nah, man, it's football. You know what I'm saying? Like, I did the hard last year to, you know, free my mind, be able to know that, you know, the field is one of the safest places to be for my situation to happen. You know, we got so many professionals that practice routine situations like that happening, and you know, it was a result of me being able to come back. So, you know, my mind is free, my mind is clear. So, you know, I'm just out there just trying to play football.
Players were waving immediately. Dolphins players were. Did you know that he was hurt? Right.
I mean, he was on the ground for a little bit. So, I mean, respectfully, I kind of knew something was up with him, but. I mean, it was moving around, so you know, I didn't know if it was a cramp or whatever he had going on.
DeMar, what was it like to watch a guy like Jamarcus, you know, today gets the first pick to kind of swing the game early on, and then of course the pick six?
It was amazing to watch it. You know, he's somebody who I seen, you know, start from the bottom and just work his way in. You know, a trial guy who just, you know, has been consistent from day one. And, you know, don't worry about nothing but doing his job one play at a time and keeping it simple, you know. And that's when you get results like that. You know, I see him go through his process day in, day out, regardless of the results. You know what I mean? So to see him have a crazy day like he just did today was, like, phenomenal. So, you know, I told him, first thing I told him is you deserve it, bro. You know, like, he deserved it. He showed up, he works hard every day, you know, and who better than him? You know what I mean?
How nice is it to have the Lemon Days off for you, for your body, for everything?
It's good, but, you know, we early in the season, so, yep. You know, I'm trying to, like, keep stacking. You know, this is like, I'm trying to, like, keep growing, keep getting better, keep improving. You know, so it's early. You know, I got a little, like, I feel good. You know, I could play another game right now. So, you know, I'm going to just keep working, keep, you know, perfecting my craft so that I can keep getting better throughout the season.
Tamar Hamlin in the locker room after the game. Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, is speaking right now to reporters in Miami. And he has, it was just tweeted out by Adam Beasley, quote from Mike McDaniel, "The best thing I can do is not assess what this means from a football standpoint," end quote, when it comes to Tua. So, Tua's injury obviously puts back on the spotlight, as it has been for a while here, and we know, you know, concussions and what's happened to CTE, a lot of the, you know, former players and what they've gone through. This has been kind of really building, and we really came to the forefront maybe, what, 10, 15 years ago now, when the movie Concussion came out and all the CTE research and all the things that, you know, we've learned about that. And back in the forefront, not just with this particular player, but with everyone, because of things that have happened on the field and what we know about post-playing. I'm going to say last night was tough for anybody who loves this game to watch. Tough. And sometimes it's really hard to reconcile those kinds of things when you love the game so much. That's the standpoint I come from. You all know me. I'm a football guy through and through, right? Yes, of course. I love the Sabres and talking about hockey, grew up in Buffalo sports, whatever, like all that. I'm a sports guy. Baseball doesn't matter. But I mean, man, football is my passion and first love. I played the game when I was younger. I coached the game. I've been around the game my entire life in some capacity. Entire life. Some of the greatest mentors and people in my life I've ever known are my football coaches. Some of my greatest friends to this day are my former teammates growing up, Pop Warner, high school. When you play this game, you get an appreciation for what it does for the camaraderie and the character building that it does in your life. And that's why I always say football is, to me, the greatest game, the greatest sport. It provides you so many things that, to me, you just wouldn't get in other avenues of life and in other sports. Now, I know people could say, well, you should try playing soccer or this sport. I get it. Like, that's your, like, if you're for that sport, you could say that. But for me, nothing like football when it comes to that. But with that comes, I think, for anybody who's been around the game, anybody who's played the game, an understanding and a risk of how violent the game can be. About 10 years ago, when all the CTE concussion stuff started coming up, there was this push to kind of, from some people, just kind of poo-poo it aside, right? Just like don't look over here. Don't look at the big elephant in the room. I took the other approach. My approach has always been with this stuff. Yes, we need to recognize this, because once we recognize it and we understand it, we can make our game safer. If we want this game to be as greatest game as we can and grow this game, and I love the grassroots of it, I love the high school part of it, I want to teach, I love the technique of it, teaching it and the practice and what goes into it. Like, we want to continue that. We have to recognize how we keep it going and building it and making it stronger and better than ever for everyone who comes aboard. And by saying, yes, these are issues that we have to correct. These, the concussions, the hits, the CTE, how do we, with the equipment, the guardian caps, whatever it is, the sports science, embrace all of that, because that's how we're going to make this game better. That's why last night, like, it is so hard to reconcile all of those things. And it's just tough to see a guy like that who, all, you know, by all accounts is such a wonderful human being, but understand and say, well, he plays football, right? This is what happens. And I don't know. I'm not in a position. None of us are in a position to tell Tua Tagovailoa what to do. His doctors will, I'm sure, make recommendations, and he's going to talk it with over with his family. We can all have opinions. He shouldn't play again. A lot of people are saying that today. I respect that. But it is, last night was tough to watch, tough to be a part of. And Deion Dawkins said it best after the game. He had said, Yes, they're enemies when they're playing, but it's a fraternity. And I'm telling you, look, I'm not on the field. I'm not playing. The people on the sidelines with me aren't playing. Those are the players who are playing. But if you're a part of the NFL on a daily basis, if you're a part of football on a daily basis, there is a camaraderie still and a fraternity of all of these people who are together and playing, looking out for one another. And when you're a part of that, and we covering this team, covering a league. I mean, not as much as the players and coaches. Again, I'm not trying to put it on that level, but I would tell you, you spend so much time with these people, and you understand what they're putting into the game that can be so and should be so rewarding for them. So a day like today is tough for me to talk about because all of the things that we try to make to say how great the game can be and how safe it can be, and then you see that because you know that's the risk of it still, right? I really hope Tua Tagovailoa is okay. I don't know if he's ever going to play football again. If he decides to, if he's medically cleared, then hopefully he never suffers another concussion. If he decides to walk away today, tomorrow, next week, at the end of the season, I totally respect that. And we'll see where it goes for the Miami Dolphins and for Tua. 803-0550. Let's talk about this game on the field and what an absolute dominant performance by the Buffalo Bills defense last night. Last night was the perfect kind of way the Bills want to win football games this year, I believe, which is control this game with your defense, suffocate the other team. You do not have to ask Josh Allen to be Superman. You do not have to ask him to put on the cape and go out there and win games. And by the way, last night, because Josh was dealing with the hand injury and wearing the glove, even more so, perfect scenario for the Bills to walk out of there without having to put Josh Allen in any sort of risk whatsoever. He even didn't have to play the last drive or whatever it was in the fourth quarter. Just the perfect scenario. Now you go to 2-0. But the story of last night is the defense. It is what Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich are building here with this group. With this group. Jamarcus Ingram and Cam Lewis and Damar Hamlin and Baylen Spector has to come in, and Dorian Williams, who has to play now for Matt Milano. I said this last week, and I'm going to say it now again. Maybe last year was the step back year for the Bills. Maybe it's not this year. Maybe it was last year. They won a lot of games that were really close, or they lost games, late in games. They were there, like they just didn't have quite enough at the end, made some bad decisions, whatever. Maybe last year was the step back year for this team. Because an under-talked about story, an under-talked about part of the transition, which I know people have talked about, but an under-talked about part of it through this offseason has been that this Bills secondary has actually gotten younger and more athletic. And as much as I respect and love Jordan Poyer for what he did in a Buffalo Bills uniform for 7 years, the James Cook run was very similar to what we saw from Poyer several times last year and shows why the Bills basically moved on. You can criticize Sean McDermott, and it's fair criticism to say that this team has not played their best defense in the playoffs, and they haven't gotten over the Kansas City Chiefs, and they haven't gotten to a Super Bowl here in Josh Allen's window. All of that is fair. But how can you not watch, even if you are the biggest detractor of this head coach, how can you not watch what they did last night to that offense, considering the parts on this defense, and not understand why he is still the head coach of the Buffalo Bills and how fortunate the Bills have a coach that is that good, at least on one side of the ball, and at just organizational management and player development overall, and not really truly appreciate what the Bills have in an organization and in a head coach? I just don't think you can. You have to be able to. You could still have your questions and doubts and criticisms about playoff failures. I get all that. There's a lot of teams in this league that would dream to be where the Buffalo Bills are with their coaching staff. A lot. And what we saw from Bobby Babich last night, what we saw from Joe Brady last night, just really remarkable. And I've seen the word masterclass, or two words if you want to say it, thrown around a lot on social media over the last 12 hours? Absolutely true. Masterclass last night. Okay. Let's go to the phone lines. Tom has been waiting since the last show. So, Tom, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
No problem, Sal. I was enjoying listening to the show. You stole 99% of what I was going to say. I could not agree with your take anymore. As a Bills fan, and you've been a Bills fan for a long time now, let's put it this way. When there's 13 seconds left in the clock and you're a real Bills fan, you're not convinced it's over. You know something's going to happen. And you put it perfectly earlier when you said last night was essentially stress-free. I cannot remember when it was stress-free. And what just occurred last night is they just shut down. They just three turnovers and at least two turnovers on downs against arguably a top five offense in the NFL without Taron Johnson, without either one of their starting linebackers, with two brand new safeties who I think are probably better. Like you just said, they probably are. They're younger, they're faster, they're probably better than Hyde and Poyer were at the end of the year. And two, in my opinion, cornerbacks who were literally fantastic yesterday. And I sit there and go, I can't remember. I've been a fan 52 years. I can't remember feeling this good about a football game to the point where I'm telling myself, Tom, you need to settle down. This team dominated them. And I'm sitting there saying, why? Is it because of all this development you said earlier in the earlier show? Is it because of how well they developed these young athletes like Ingram and Lewis and Rapp and Benford, who I personally believe is probably one of the most underrated players in the NFL? And I sit here and I wonder to myself, is Babich one of those things that we just aren't aware of how good he really is? In other words, is he a diamond in the rough? No one quite understood how good this man was, because what they did, I don't really understand if people I don't really think people can understand just how important and how they won that game yesterday. How they won that game yesterday. And so, Sal, I can't do anything other than repeat exactly what you said. And I'm just wondering if we got a gold mine in Babich. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Thanks for holding. Thanks for waiting. I think Bobby Babich is terrific at what he does as a general football coach. And we still don't know how great he'll be, how not great he'll be, I guess, as a defensive coordinator. But so far through two games, you know, all good returns through a game and a half at least, because he made great adjustments. They did on defense last week after they were down 17-3. And then this week just from the beginning, right? Yeah, I think Bobby Babich is really good. We know he's a great position coach. So we'll see where this goes with him. Let's go to Marvin on a cell. Hi, Marvin.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Great victory. I'm very happy. But you know, Marvin, I'm going to call out what I think is a problem. And I'm sure you went through all the things you did as a coach, and you're passionate about the game as I am. Epinesa, and I've called and talked to you about this guy a number of times. They eventually took him out. I know they were subbing guys because of the heat. But my fellows, some of the old-timers who watch, you could say 1,001 before the guy moved his feet. He is terrible off the ball. He cannot set the edge. And I think that Buffalo, by re-signing him, was a big mistake. I really feel sorry for Ed Oliver, because he needs a real stud in there, not retreads that we pick up, you know, for in the middle there. We need some young, big studs to offset his ability to shoot the gap. And that's my take on the defense. You know, I look at things to make the team better. We have we did a wonderful job, but you have to look at what Tua has done against Buffalo. Some teams that you have their number, and Tua has thrown more interceptions against touchdowns in his whole career against Buffalo, if you look at the stats. But the running was suspect to me. I really believe that they need a couple studs in the middle besides Oliver. Russo, solid. You get a little bit from Miller, but Epinesa is a problem on the line. And I truly, what I was seeing that Spector was getting eaten. These guys are, the linebackers are getting eaten up by the line because they can't even hold them off a little bit to plug it up so the linebackers can move from side to side. So that's my take on it. I'm glad we won. I'm a Bills fan, diehard. I think I called you last time, I'm getting old, but I remember about my I called you about the Kansas City Buffalo game in 64. So I've been around for a while. But Epinesa is he shouldn't be on the field. So my take on that, and I appreciate your response. Thank you.
Okay, my response is, first of all, I understand your concerns. I don't think his ball get off is great. I think AJ has been a player at times where he's really flashed, but I think you want a little more consistency from him. He actually did force Tua into that pick six last night. He had that. But I agree with some of your concerns. I don't agree about Ed Oliver not having guys. Daquan Jones is terrific, you know, being next to him. And I think when Smoot comes back, Dewan Smoot is a big loss right now. I do think they have that. But Marvin, here's my advice to you. I know you love the team. I know you're trying to look at it through a critical lens, and I totally appreciate that. Buddy, it's Friday. They won. Look at something positive and have a great weekend, brother. That's, you got it. You got me, right? All right, buddy. Thanks for calling. You got it. That's my take on that. Sean McDermott, after the game, we'll hear from him as he took the podium after the Bills' 31-10 victory over the Miami Dolphins. The Bills are 2-0. We'll take more of your phone calls here on a Football Friday, Victory Friday edition of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Back to pass, fires over the middle, and looking for his receiver. It's intercepted. Picked off, and coming the other way is Jamarcus Ingram up the right sideline. Still on his feet and finally tackled in Miami territory at the 36. It deflected off the intended receiver and right into the waiting arms of Ingram.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Looking over the middle. Pressure coming. Has to heave it. And it's intercepted. Coming the other way. And going for six is Jamarcus Ingram. A 30-yard interception return for a touchdown. Tua's third pick of the night.
Chris Brown on the call right there on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Fantastic night at Hard Rock Stadium last night for the Buffalo Bills. 31-10 victory over the Miami Dolphins. Head coach Mike McDaniel of the Miami Dolphins is talking to reporters right now, or at least he did a little while ago, and he said they're not going to put a timeline on Tua Tagovailoa right now. Obviously, the concern is him and his health. They're going to assess that on a daily basis. That's, to be expected. He also said they're going to move forward with Skylar Thompson as their starting quarterback and will likely add a quarterback. I wonder if that's Mike White. I wonder if the Dolphins sign Mike White back from the Bills practice squad since he was there and knows their offense. He was there all offseason, and he lost out to Skylar Thompson for the backup role. They released him. They do have Tim Boyle on their squad, on their practice squad. So it might just mean, no, we're not going to do that. We'll bring Tim Boyle back. I think it would come down to, Mike White had a chance to join. He's not going to, you can't just take him on your practice squad for the Dolphins. You'd have to offer him a 53-man roster spot. And Mike White would then have a decision to make. He is all practice squad players are free agents. So the way it works is, let's say the Dolphins in this case go to Mike White and say, hey, we want to sign you to our active roster. Mike White would then have a decision to say, do I want to do that? Do I want to stay here in Buffalo in a practice squad? It's obviously a lot more money. Generally, guys are going to do that, but he doesn't have to. But the Dolphins could also say, no, we're going to roll with Tim Boyle. He's been here for a few weeks now. We're going to move him to the 53, and then they'll sign somebody else onto their practice squad. Ryan Tannehill is still also out there. I don't see that as an option right now for Miami. Maybe as this goes on, but I don't know what kind of money they'd want, he'd want, and that's something they're going to have to deal with. Skylar Thompson, though, is the presumed starter going forward right now in the immediate future for the Miami Dolphins. Speaking of head coaches, following the Bills' 31-10 victory down at Hard Rock Stadium, Bills head coach Sean McDermott took the podium to talk about it.
Okay, glory to God, man, just for putting us in this position to come down here and be down here with this team and on a short week, great team win. So, you know, I thought the important piece was after half, being able to come out and widen the lead was critical for us. James Cook really showed up in a lot of different ways tonight for us, and then the fourth down defense was pivotal. Fans, I mean, what else is there to say about the fans? I actually had someone come over during the game and ask me if this was a home game, which is pretty cool, right? Because there's so many Buffalo Bills fans here. So love it, man. Great environment for the Buffalo Bills. Appreciate all the fans making the trip down here. The Tua situation, and it didn't look good, and you know, our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family. We want the best for him, and with that, I'll turn it over to you for your questions.
Ron, how impressive your defense, losing Teron last week and then Bernard early in the game, how impressive to put on that performance without those two guys?
Yeah, again, next man up. The guys did a great job. Bale Inspector knew the game plan, prepared like he was going to start, and the results are the results. And then Jamarcus comes in again, gets another big play for us, and that's great to see. And these guys work hard, you know, so good things happen when you work hard, and sometimes the ball finds you like that. And again, it was a good team win. So all three phases, it's not about one person, but again, all three phases factored in the win, which is good to see. And still a lot of work to do, but we'll enjoy this playing right home, and the players will be able to get some rest, and some of the coaches as well and staff, so it'll be good.
What's the injury with Terrell?
I know what the area is. I just don't know the severity of it yet. So.
James Cook's touchdown catch up for him. How well designed was that?
Yeah, great call by Joe. Well executed. The timing on that, you know, I think they brought pressure on that play, and again, preparation by Joe and the offensive staff and the players executed.
Follow up on James, two rushing touchdowns after that. Not that he needed confidence, but what kind of momentum can he carry out of this game?
Yeah, again, you know, James just continues to grow and get better. He was one of our captains tonight, and you know, it's well deserved, right? So. He's from here, and I know it was important for him to play well, and he's just continuing to grow and develop, and just extremely proud of him.
Two wins in 5 minutes. This is tough slate. How proud are you of this group to sort of rally?
Yeah, again, I mean, we've got a lot of new players and whatnot, and you're never really sure. There's so many unknowns starting a season, and, you know, we come back the first week of the season and win, and I think that was a step for us, for any team to be able to say that you can do that, you can play in close games, and then this game, being able to come down here on a short week, to your point, at their place, and play like we did. We played our style of football, and I think we've got things to do to work and get some rest, like I said, but continuing to groove our football and what we're trying to do and what we're trying to become. Yeah, I think Coach Holcomb does a really good job, and those guys, you know, they want to be coached, they want to prepare, they want to be good, all the way up and down the depth chart that way, and so they realize that they may be a special teams player one day, and then the next day they're asked to play a lot or start, and Balin's a good example of that.
Okay, Bale Inspector stepped into the role vacated by Terrell Bernard last night after Bernard's injury. McDermott said right there he knew the area, but he didn't have the diagnosis. We know it's a pectoral injury because that was announced by the team. We know he didn't return. We also know that those injuries can be pretty severe. So we'll wait on word from Sean McDermott as far as the injury to Terrell Bernard. And if it's long-term and serious, and you're talking months, not weeks. I mean, man, it is going to be a difficult, difficult task without Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard. But don't we say that a lot? And it seems like they just step up and have guys rise up and have a good plan. And that's what happened last night in the moment. Also, for all those of you clamoring for Joe Andreessen to play in a Bills uniform, to get a jersey, the injury last night to Terrell Bernard, unfortunately, the injury due to that, most likely leads to Joe Andreessen being active next game, right? I mean, just look at the numbers. That's where I'm basing it off of. The numbers would tell you that Joe Andreessen will most likely be a guy that they would have to kind of step into the backup middle linebacker role behind Baylen Spector. So we'll see how that works out, though. Nothing for certain. They do not play until a week from Monday night. Let's go back out to the phone lines, get connected with our fans. Alex on a cell. Hi, Alex.
Good morning, Al. How are you?
I'm good, thank
great
you.
To see, it was great to see the Sean McDermott's leadership. We really see the leadership when people get when we start losing players, which we've done for the past several years. Seems like we always lose a top three defensive starter. But credit to Sean McDermott's preparedness. He has the leadership. He has the permission to be led to lead these defensive players. They're all buying in by you're seeing guys who would never get chances to start stepping in. And it doesn't matter the number on the back of the jersey. They're all playing late. I can't even tell, you know, who's playing. They're all there. Last year, when the Bills were having that rough part, we kept hearing complimentary football. We heard it so much to the point where I was waiting for it in the interviews, and every time I heard it, it irked me because I felt like it was an excuse. But today, I'm preaching complimentary football. Josh Kelce.
It's funny how that works, isn't it? I know, right?
It's amazing. Amazing how I love complimentary football now because this is what it looks like. And thank you, That's Sal, funny. And you know, for all that you do. And go Bills.
You got it, Alex. Thanks a lot. It's funny. He's like, I'm tired of hearing about complimentary football. It's just platitudes. What they say. It's football stuff. It's that football coach thing they do. And they say, today he's like, dude, that was great complimentary football. See, you got it. You got it. It's in your blood now, Alex. See, that's why they do it. That's why coaches do it. That's why players do it. You just keep hammering it. Because then when it happens, you're like, oh, yeah, that's what it is. And you cut. It's a buy-in, right? Alex, you just bought into the culture. That's what you did right there here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll hear more from Locker Room after last night's game. Jamarcus Ingram, obviously, with a fantastic night. We'll hear from him, Rasul Douglas, and a lot more on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio here. Let's be back in a snap. It is brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Back to pass, rolls out to his right, looking downfield, finds Ty Johnson complete at the 4, and he's tackled at the 1-yard line by Jalen Ramsey. Allen bought as much time as he could. Ty Johnson sprung free late and he hit him. Tua back to pass, looking deep down the right sideline. He overshot it and it's intercepted. Picked off by Christian Benford. He overshot the intended receiver and had all time in the pocket. He just misfired, Eric. A costly INT. The second in 3 possessions for Tua.
That was Christian Benford's pick, and that was just a bad overthrow by Tua, right? Benford stepped in front of it. Great job there by Christian Benford. He had a fantastic game as well. I gave him an arrow up. Check it out. Arrow up, arrow down, WGR550.com. Let's go to Bob Strikersville. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how you doing? Great game. I'm glad they won. I just don't understand why Takula dove head first when he went down. Why didn't he slide with his legs?
I don't know. I mean, you know, quarterbacks.
With this history of concussions, why would you head first? Why?
Well, I don't know, Bob. I mean, but, you know, it's the same question you ask about a lot of quarterbacks that do that sometimes. Josh Allen, we asked that about sometimes, and I don't have that answer. He probably, you know, could have and should have, but, you know, it goes very fast, right? Hold on. It goes very fast. He's running. He's trying to make a play. He's trying to get a first down. We can all second guess it all we want, but, you know, it's tough. And until you ask him that, I don't know. Maybe he'll tell you he should have.
Well, didn't he already have the first down?
I think so, Bob. But like I said, you know, he's trying to make a play. He's playing football, and it's very, very fast. We can criticize him all we want, but I think that that's just, you know, it's the nature of the game sometimes how it happens. Here's another Bob in Syracuse. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Sal. So I have a couple questions and concerns. Obviously, you know, we all know that Bernard is likely going to be out for the season. So I kept a close eye on Spector. And I'm just wondering that it really kind of concerns me if he's going to play Mike the rest of the season. I like him. I think he's a great player. I think he's a little bit undersized. I'm just wondering if you think, or if they think that they may actually move Williams over to the Mike linebacker and then play Morrow a little bit more. I think that, I don't know how confident they are in that, but to ride Spector this whole year, I just don't think that's going to be a good move. I'll hang up and listen to.
Well, hold on, don't hang up. Hold on.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's much bigger than Terrell Bernard, by the way. You say he's undersized. He's bigger than Terrell Bernard.
Well,
Terrell Bernard
yeah,
is 6'6". Hold on. Bernard is 6'1", 224. Bale Inspector, well, he's 6 foot 233, weighs 10 pounds heavier.
Okay,
you know?
So let me rephrase. I don't know if he has the ability, as obviously
sure.
I don't think he's not as good as Bernard. We know that to be able to shake off tight end.
No, I get it. Look, he's a backup for a reason. Yeah, he's not a starter, right?
Williams,
I have some concerns.
Might be,
no, I take it Williams, to your second question, Bob. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you there, and I was talking over you, and I apologize for that. To get to your question, I do not think they would do that. Dorian Williams is where he needs to be. He's not a Mike linebacker. The Bills move him to Will linebacker because he flies to the ball. He has more freedom to go sideline to sideline. They could put him in different positions to do that. Bale Inspector understands the defense. He's the green dot when he's out there. So, no, I don't think they'll do that. I know there's going to be concerns, no doubt. I even said earlier this morning that
go deeper in free agency to see if they can grab somebody to play the middle linebacker.
To start?
No, just as depth. I know that Andrew.
No, I think Joe Andreessen is your backup, and he's looked pretty good so far. So, no, I think we're a long way from that, Bob. I think you have right to be concerned, but I think you're jumping the gun way too much here.
Okay, fair enough.
Yep. All right, you got it. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the call. All right, 803-0550 is the number to call. Jamarcus Ingram, what a fantastic game he had. I think he could win AFC Defensive Player of the Week. The Bills already had one last week in Greg Rousseau. Here's Jamarcus Ingram after the big win and the two picks, including a pick six.
A couple of interceptions. You're the first UB player to record two interceptions in an NFL game. One of them a pick six. Can you reflect on your big performance and kind of the whirlwind that you've experienced over these past 2 weeks to thrust into action?
Oh, man, it's a blessing, you know, to just be in this position. But I would say really just my mindset, you know, every week and every day coming in, preparing and telling myself, you know, that I'll be in position to make plays. You know, I'll be in position to make that play whenever that play comes. I just always tell myself that.
Is a night like tonight everything you ever dreamed of?
Yeah, it's you know what I'm saying, it's a feeling that I don't even got words to describe.
The second one, did you believe that it was coming to you on that play?
Nah, I couldn't. It was just like I was just doing my job and, you know, it just fell right out the sky.
What happened on that play? What exactly did happen there?
It looked like, you know, our D-line, they was rushing, you know what I'm saying, real good, and got him off the spot, and he just threw it away. It looked like he was trying to throw it away, and, you know, I was just running to the ball and caught it and took it to the crib.
Jamarcus, you went from Sean mentioned after the game against Arizona that you may not have even been up that day if it weren't for the injury. And to go from that to playing such a central role in two wins in the span of, you know, 5 days, just what goes through your mind, like that quick of a turnaround?
It's a lot, you know, especially getting told, you know, that I might not be up. But my mindset is, you know, preparing like I'm a play, preparing like I'm a starter, you know, no matter what. But it's still, you know, things that I feel, and it's a lot to, you know, be able to step up in those moments. And the fact that they got faith in me to be able to do that, it's just a blessing to be a part of this organization that I can step up in those moments and make plays.
What's the support been like from your teammates? Obviously, talking about the journey, but that sideline was insane when you went over there. What was that like?
Like I said, I don't even really got the words to describe it, but I know I got a group of teammates, you know, that love me, And I love them as well. And, you know, I can't be more blessed and thankful for the organization that I play for, my teammates, you know, and just the position that I'm in.
Walk us through the first interception as well, if you could. Was it just the right place, right time?
Yeah, just doing my job. And, you know, CB made a hell of a play on the ball. And just running to the ball, I was able to, you know, come up with that one. So.
Jamarcus Ingram right there, big pick to start the game, swings the game right there. Like, that's a huge shift in the tone of the game. You want to say momentum? Whatever. Maybe there's no momentum right there, but it just set the tone for the game and allowed the Bills to take the lead, which, by the way, big play on the first drive for the Bills. We'll talk about when we get back. We'll recap some of this game from the stat line as well. We'll hear from more players. We'll do all of it in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Victory Football Friday. We'll come right back here on WGR.
Tua back by himself in the pocket, and he's sacked! Taken down by Ed Oliver. Ride him, Cowboy!